Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. Our number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. 677-9673. We'd love to hear from you tonight. And certainly check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. If you go there, you can find out more about me, more about the program. You can listen to past programs there. I have up through, I believe, last Sunday on there. And you can listen to those programs, and you can listen to our Friday afternoon programs as well. Every Friday right here on AM 1220, The Word, we're on 1:30 to 2 o'clock. In fact, let me recommend that you tune in at 1 o'clock, because there's a great program before us on Friday afternoons, and that's Pastor John Lutz of the North Coast Baptist Church, and he is on at 1 o'clock, then we come on at 1:30, and then Pastor Resnacko of the Bible Baptist Temple in Euclid comes on at 2 o'clock, and so we got kind of the three of us all right there together, with me, the pastor of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church in between, and I believe it was Pastor Lutz that coined the term the Baptist trifecta, and so I think it'd be a blessing. I think you would enjoy listening, and Brother Lutz is always good. I like listening to him as I'm getting ready to do the program myself, and I've sat in for him a number of times. He sat in for me. Usually it's on Friday afternoons, and sometimes we've even combined our programs where there'll be the two of them together. In fact, if you go to our website, livewithpastoral.com, and you look at where the church or where the radio programs are, you'll see the Sunday 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. column, and then that's in yellow, and then green is the Friday 1:30 p.m. column. And some cases, you'll see two entries, part one and part two. When you see that, just a little way so you know what's going on there, normally it's just one date that's there, but when you see part one and part two, that means one of two things took place. That means either I filled in for Pastor Lutz at 1 o'clock and then did our program at 1:30, or it means Pastor Lutz and I combined our programs and we both sat in on each other's programs at 1 o'clock and then at 1:30. So you'll see that periodically on the schedule there, and it's always a blessing to be able to fill in or have him fill in for me, or to do a joint broadcast together. But check us out, as I said, online, livewithpastoral.com. You can look at a number of articles and things that I have there, and there's a number of other materials that are all available. The most recent article posted on there, Behold the Fig Tree, which we've talked about a little bit, and then there's some others here and there. And so things I hope be a blessing, some word searches that my daughter and I have put together that are available on there as well, and links some other materials. And so you can check that out. There's also a link to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I am the pastor, and you can find the Richfield Bible Baptist Church located in Richfield, Ohio, 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200, and I emphasize Suite 200 in Richfield because we're in a commercial strip. If you're looking for a building with a steeple, you won't find us. But if you look for our door in the commercial strip, you'll find a Suite 200 at 4174 Wheatley Road, and that's the corner of Brecksville Road and Wheatley Road in Richfield, Ohio, right about where Interstate 271 and 77 meet. So you can find us very easily, and as long as you're looking for the door, we're right between a ladies' fitness center and a salon. So hopefully you'd be able to figure out which one of the three is us. I think you could do that pretty easily. But we'd love to have you visit us sometime at the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. And you can find out more about that as well. Just link to the link. Just go to livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Follow the link to the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. There's some materials there. Hopefully it'll be a blessing as well. All right. Well, with all of that having been said, let's go ahead and open our program tonight with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. Pray that you would bless, Lord. Use us for your glory. Help us to point people that are searching to Christ. Help us to encourage believers in their walk with you. And again, we just pray that in all things that we do, we lift up and glorify our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through the program tonight. Father, bless now, we pray, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we've got a number of things coming up. I just want to mention a couple of things here before we get to our callers. Certainly tomorrow, Memorial Day, and as I always stress, Memorial Day is not another Veterans Day. We'll be talking about Memorial Day a little bit more when we get into the second hour, but we've got 3 days on the calendar that veterans and active duty service personnel are all recognized and honored and everything, but only one of them is Veterans Day. On Saturday, or I should say last Saturday, a week ago Saturday, the 18th of May, the 18th of May is Armed Forces Day. That's a day on the calendar that we set aside for honoring those who are serving in the United States Armed Forces. And then at the end of the year in November, we have on November 11th, we have Veterans Day, where we honor and remember those that have served in our nation's armed forces, the veterans. That's Veterans Day. In between them, we have at the end of May, and this year it's May 27th, we have Memorial Day. And Memorial Day is a day that's set aside to remember and to honor those that gave their lives in service to their country. And so that's what distinguishes it from Veterans Day. That's what distinguishes it from Armed Forces Day. This is for those who gave their all. And I appreciate, as a veteran, I appreciate being recognized by people on Memorial Day. I appreciate that. But it isn't Memorial Day. It isn't Veterans Day. Memorial Day is a day for the honor of those that gave their all in sacrifice to their country. So we'll be talking about that a little bit more when we get into the second hour tonight. But in the meanwhile, I wanted to mention that also coming up, let me see here. It's not this coming week, but next week is the 80th anniversary of the D-Day invasion. And that will be June the 6th. And we'll probably be talking about that a little bit more next week. But I wanted to mention that because Chris Long, who's president of the Ohio Christian Alliance, will be joining me from the World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C. And we're going to be talking about D-Day and some different things that took place and how the Lord intervened and blessed. And Chris Long is, of course, a number of you know, the person who is responsible for the addition of the D-Day prayer remembrance, circle of remembrance to the World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C. And he'll be talking about that, and he will be actually joining us live from the D-Day prayer circle of remembrance at the World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C. on Friday, June the 7th, the day after the 80th anniversary of the D-Day invasion. So I just wanted to mention that as well. And then one more thing. Some of our listeners are familiar with Medina County Friends and Neighbors, McFan for short, Medina County Friends and Neighbors. On June the 8th, this is a Saturday, June the 8th, at 9 a.m., I will be joining Pastor Jeff Turing, and And again, some of our listeners know Pastor Turing, as well as Pastor Walter Moss and I. And we're going to be on a panel for Medina County Friends and Neighbors dealing with the idea of what is a biblical worldview. And it'll be time for people to ask questions. So that's coming up on Saturday, June the 8th. And we'll be getting more information out about that next week as well. So if you have any question, if you're familiar with Medina County Friends and Neighbors, you can check them out. You can find them on Facebook and different places at facebook.com. It's McFan Medina. That'll find them on Facebook, and they'll have this information posted there. Also, I believe it may be posted as an event at ohiofan.com. That's ohiofan.com. So like I said, we'll talk about that more next week as we get a little closer to that. But in the meanwhile, we're going to jump into our phone calls here. As I said, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. Our number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we have got Nancy, who is waiting patiently for us here tonight. Nancy, welcome to the program this evening.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al. Thank you for taking my call. And blessed Memorial Day.
Yes, you do.
I can't say happy. You know, a lot of people say happy Memorial Day.
Right.
But, I mean, I don't really think it's happy. You know, it's a time to remember.
Right, a time of reflection and remembrance. And you're right.
Yes.
You know, we're so used to saying, you know, happy this, you know, on a holiday, different holidays, happy 4th of July, you know, things like that. But you know, when it's a day to remember those who died, you know, it's a more somber sort of a thing. And so, yeah, you're right.
Mm-hmm. Now, my topic tonight is regarding Matthew 5, 24, very famous. But I say unto you, you know, basically love your enemies. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Well, I find it very, very hard to love my enemies if it's something major. Like, for example, now if it's something like, you know, somebody insults you or maybe they're not doing their share of the work, I can understand. I can go along with that. But what about a woman whose husband is beating her up? Or what about Hamas, who killed so many Jewish people? Or an abortion doctor who is profiting from abortions and doesn't even feel guilty. How can you love somebody like that? I just find it really hard.
Well, it is difficult. It is difficult, you know. And but let me put it this way: when Jesus hung on the cross to die, shed his blood to pay for your sins and my sins and everybody else's, and the people were hurling insults at him, did he love the people who were doing that, or did he hate them?
Yeah, well, he loved them.
Right, right.
He loves everybody.
Right, and that
is our example.
Yeah, but see, that goes to my point. What's impossible for men is possible for God.
Okay.
And I agree with you. It's awful hard. You hear these stories every once in a while where somebody does something terrible, you know, some absolutely heinous event that somebody, you know, does. They horribly abuse somebody, or they try to kill somebody, and you see the person, or they even kill somebody. You see the family members going, "Well, I forgive you. I love you."
Yeah, and I find that really amazing when a family does. Every once in a while, you'll see that on TV.
Yeah, yeah. Well, when I see that, I look at that and I think, you know, I would have a very hard time doing that myself. But see, here's the thing: I'm thinking from my human standpoint. But here's what happens: somehow or another, in the right circumstances, God can change your heart. God can change your mind. I was thinking, you remember the missionaries, Jim Elliot and the others that were killed down the, I think it was South or Central America, the Yakua Indians, I believe it was. What it was, for those that aren't familiar with the story, is these missionaries had this burden to reach this unreached tribe, and they were known to be kind of violent and such, and they started by flying over and dropping things, you know, like gifts to them to try and gain their favor. And they went in finally when they thought this is the right time to land and try a face-to-face contact. And they landed. They came in there, and things seemed to be going well at first. When all of a sudden, the Kua turned on them and killed them. Now, Jim Elliott's wife, you know, lost her husband. And, you know, this idea of love your enemies and those that persecute you, when you look at this, you would think, how in the world could she ever have love for the person that brutally slaughtered her husband and his friends? But later on, those people got saved, and it was partly due to the martyrdom of Jim Elliott and his friends. But the people in that tribe came to knowledge of Christ and got saved, and Jim Elliott's wife, his widow, she actually went in and began working with them and grew to love the people that killed her husband.
Yeah, I do remember this.
Yeah, now that's an act of God.
That's a really good example.
Yeah, that's an act of God. And so when I look at this and I say, I don't know how I could do it, that's the humanity speaking. However, because if you know Christ as your Savior, greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world, right? So if you know Christ as your Savior, it may be that God gives you a certain measure of grace that enables you to live out what he said here in Matthew 5, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. And then he says, rejoice and be exceeding glad. I mean, how can you do that, you know? And things like that that you talked about, how can you love these people? It's only by the grace of God that you can do it, I think. Because I don't know how I could do it. If somebody did something horrible to me or to a family member, I have no idea how I could love that person in my own strength. It would have to be God working supernaturally in me to enable me to love that person.
Oh, and I want to point out, it's not saying to forgive them. It's just to pray for them and do good to them. That's not included in the idea, right?
Right. Well, I expanded on the idea.
And I know Christian love
is
different than, you know, the world thinks of, if a man loves a woman. I know love is patient, is kind, you know, Corinthians 13.
Right.
So,
well, there's brotherly love and things like that.
Yes.
And I expanded it that way because, you know, we look at how, you know, God so loved the world, right? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that hated him, the world that was going to crucify him, God loved and gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life.
Now, he's our perfect example.
Exactly. Perfect example. So that's why I say
strive to be more.
Yeah,
complex.
But that's why I say, humanly speaking, I don't know how I could do it. I really don't. I'll be honest. I don't know how I could do it, but
me neither.
It's the grace of God that would enable me to do it, and that's the situation by God's grace, I hope I never have to be in, and all, But at the same time, like I said, this is a work of God, I think, in the human heart, to be able to not hate the person that has hurt and harmed you in a tremendous fashion. That's not easy.
Yes. Now, for simple sins against you, I could probably do that with a but it's just the extreme degree of horrific sin that I find a problem with.
So, yeah.
But you
yeah.
made that very clear. Yeah. Okay, well, thank you, Pastor Al.
No, that's a good question tonight, Nancy, when you think about it.
Thank
because think of this. Think of this. You know, Memorial Day's coming up tomorrow, right? And there's a lot of people who've lost loved ones. And it's ironic that in many cases, you know, especially after World War II, there was a lot of people who came home from World War II, and they turned their life over to the Lord, and they became missionaries. In some cases, they went and they worked amongst the very people that killed their friends and comrades in arms during the war.
That's amazing.
You know, there was a case. Oh, I wish I could remember. I just thought of it right now. I wish I could remember it exactly. A particularly vindictive and just evil Japanese prisoner of war guard or camp commander, whatever it was. He later gets saved, and he is brought back together with one of the prisoners that he used to beat mercilessly during World War II, and they became friends.
Yeah, I have heard of it.
Yeah, there was a movie, I think, made
that's
about
amazing.
It. And see, again, that's God working, isn't it? To be able to put a love for people who have wronged you, who have harmed you, have hurt you. And that's a work of God doing that. And that's why, again, I say, I don't know how I could do it myself. It would take God's grace working in and through me to be able to do that. So.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. And you have a blessed Memorial Day.
And that's a good way to say it right there. A blessed Memorial Day. Thanks. Thank you. Appreciate you,
thank
too.
Thank you very much.
God bless. Take care. Thank you. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. And we have got Terry, who's waiting patiently as well. And Terry, welcome to the program tonight.
Really?
Hi. We got to you early this evening, didn't we?
Yes.
I was just looking at something. I thought of you. I was looking at something earlier. There was a shooting, and I'm just trying to remember where it was. I saw it earlier this evening at a girls' school. I think it was in the Ontario area. A couple of men. It was a Jewish girls' school, and they stood out in front of the school. And they shot their guns at the school and then ran off. And it's just. Anti-Semitism, it's an evil that's plaguing our society, isn't it? So
yeah, all because of what's going on in the Middle East.
Yeah, yeah. So it's So we need to pray for those people.
That's the first I heard of it. I haven't watched the news today yet, but I'll probably have to look that up.
Yeah, and maybe if it comes to me or if I can find it again, maybe I can get that while we're talking here. But go ahead, we'll jump into your question here tonight as well. So
actually, I was just going to bring up the subject about the Sabbath, and you know how confusing that can be with people. I think. You know the Jews used to they had their Sabbath on a Saturday, if I believe. What I understand.
Yeah, the Sabbath was initially and always ever since then was and still is Saturday. Sunday is not the Sabbath. I know some people call it the Christian Sabbath or something like that, but Sunday is never been referred to the Sabbath in the Bible. The first day of the week has never been referred to as the Sabbath. It may have been referred to as the Lord's Day because it's the day of the resurrection of Christ. But the Sabbath in the Bible, Old and New Testament alike, was and still is the last day of the week, the seventh day of the week, which actually technically it's Friday when the sun sets until Saturday when the sun sets, because the first day of the week begins at sunset on Saturday and runs through sunset on Sunday. So.
Yeah, and Roman Emperor Constantine, he was actually the one that changed it from Saturday to Sunday because of
change what
menacism.
No, change what
the Sabbath. the Sabbath.
Oh, well, they may have, and the Catholic Church, I think, may have started referring to it as a Sabbath. But to be fair, in the Catholic Catechism, I remember reading in it, it actually even says in there that, that the first day of the week is not the Sabbath. But I know, for instance, the Seventh-day Adventists make a big deal about worshiping on the Sabbath, and they claim that the Pope changed the times, which, of course, is a reference to what the Antichrist is going to do during the tribulation, but they attribute it to the Pope. And they say he changed the time of churches meeting, you know, of people worshiping God from the Sabbath day, the last day of the week, to the first day of the week. But in reality, that's really not the case, because, you know, in the Bible we have people worshiping on the first day of the week, as well as the last day of the week and every day in between. In fact, I can give an example of that in Acts chapter 2 here. Let me just turn over there real quick. In fact, I had Seventh-day Adventists tell me one time, there's no place in the Bible that records the early Christians worshiping on the first day of the week. But here we are in Acts chapter 2, and it says here, Peter's preaching on the day of Pentecost, and large number of people are saved. And then it says this, and it says, let's see here, verse 44, and all that believed were together and had all things common, sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, every man as every man had need. And they continuing, notice what he says here in verse 46, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. And then it says in verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the church, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. The early Christians met on the first day of the week. They met on the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, and the seventh days of the week. They met daily. They didn't limit it to one day of the week.
Right. And as brothers and sisters in the Lord, I believe that we should be more in touch with one another during the week and fellowship with one another, not once a week.
Yeah. Well, I look at it this way. We have Friday night Bible study. I know our break's coming up. We'll have to hold you through the break here, I believe. Yep. Our Friday night Bible study, especially now that it's, you know, getting towards summer and the sun's up longer and sunsets a little bit later, when we start meeting, if you go by the Jewish calendar, our way of keeping track of the days, we begin meeting on the sixth day of the week. And then the sun sets, it becomes the seventh day of the week, which, you know, would have been the Sabbath, or would be the Sabbath. So we're meeting on the Sabbath, and then when we go to church on Sunday, Sunday morning, we're meeting on the first day of the week, and then Sunday night, especially more toward winter when the sun sets earlier, Sunday night when the sun would set while we're in church, we would find ourselves meeting then on the second day of the week. So I told a Seventh-day Adventist one time, well, we meet on the fifth day, we meet on the the sixth day, we meet on the seventh day, we meet on the first day, we meet on the second day, and we had a Wednesday night prayer service, and I said, and that one there meets on the, let's see, what would that be, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. That would meet on the third day, and when the sun sets, it becomes the fourth day. And I said, you only meet on the seventh day. We meet on all these other days of the week. So, you know, why do you only limit yourself to one? And, of course, they like to say that in Revelation, the mark of the beast is actually worshiping on the Sabbath day. There used to be a guy on the radio that would say that, and he undercover visited our church on at least two occasions and never would give his name. And and he visited and came to our church on the first day of the week, which he on the radio taught was receiving the mark of the beast. So I would always joke saying, yeah, I marked him with the mark of the beast as he went out the door on the first day of the week. But for some reason, they become convinced that the first day of the week is to receive the mark of the beast. If you can work that, they have another commandment, an 11th commandment that says, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God on the second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh days of the week, but thou shalt not worship him under penalty of hellfire on the first day of the week. So for some reason, you weren't allowed to. The disciples met daily, and there's another place where Paul was preaching on the first day of the week, and he preached for a long time, and there was a young man who was in a window, it said in a third loft, like the third floor window, and he was sitting in the window, and he nodded off, and he fell out the window, and they thought he was dead. Whether he was or not, Paul prayed, and God raised him up. So, you know, it was the first day of the week. And the Bible talks about bringing your tithes in on the first day of the week. So there's plenty of evidence that the early believers met on the first day of the week in recognition. Hey, stay with us. We got another hour and a half to go. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield,
hey, Kenny.
Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Oh, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight right here on AM 1220, The Word. And you can check us out online, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And a number of articles on there that you might find interesting and helpful. And also you can link to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church there. You can listen to past programs there. We've got a number of things all available at livewithpastoral.com. And also normally at this time we talk about East Coast pizza, but I want to put that off for just a few minutes here and get back with our caller Terry here before talking about East Coast pizza, because it looks like we got a special caller calling in here. So Terry, before the break, we were talking about the Sabbath, and so I wanted to get you back on, and then I got another caller who's calling in here. So, but to get back to where we were at.
When Jesus died on the cross, he didn't come to take away the law or the prophets. He came to fulfill, right?
Exactly. And I tell people, if people want to observe the Sabbath, there's no reason that you can't. But we're not under the obligation. Now, the Jewish people are under the obligation. And in fact, I was mentioning about, you know, the different articles that I have. During the break there, I found an article that I had written. Oh, my. I'm just looking at it. It was written 14 years ago. That's hard to believe it was that long ago. But the article's title is It Wrong to Worship on Sundays? And I get into this idea of the Sabbath in this article. And remember, I had made the mention of the Roman Catholic Church is often accused of changing the Sabbath to Sunday. And this is something that I actually had a quote here. This was Cardinal Ratzinger, who, of course, became Pope after John Paul II and Pope Benedict, right? I think I've got that correct. But in 1994, in Ignatius Press, he made this statement: Sunday is expressly distinguished from the Sabbath, which it follows chronologically every week. For Christians, its ceremonial observance replaces that of the Sabbath. So he said actually replaces the Sabbath. And then the Roman Catholic Catechism actually refers to the Sunday as the Lord's Day, and distinguishing it from the Sabbath day. Protestants carried that term with them, let me back up a little bit there. Catholics became gained the habit, I should say, over time, though, referring to Sunday as the Sabbath. And Protestants carried that term with them when they came out of the Catholic Church and passed it down. And some Baptists have picked up that term as well. And we were talking about some portions of Scripture, like Acts chapter 2 that we looked at, where it said daily they were worshiping. Acts 20 verse 7, upon the first day of the week when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them. That's kind of interesting. He preached unto them on the first day of the week. You know, for the people who claim that there's nothing in the Scriptures that show them worshiping on the first day of the week, I guess they just don't read Acts 20, verse 7. They just kind of overlook that one. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, in the first two verses 1 and 2, now concerning the collection of the saints, as I've given order in the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in stores. God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings like God. So here he is. You know, we've got preaching taking place on the first day of the week. We've got collecting offerings taking place on the first day of the week. We got people breaking bread on the first day of the week. In fact, they did that on other days of the week too, as well as the preaching and all of that as well. So obviously there's nothing that forbids people from worshiping on the first day of the week. So we look at this. Let me just give you a couple things here real quick, Terry. Exodus chapter 31, verses 12 through 18 makes it very clear that keeping the Sabbath is a sign between God and the Jewish people throughout their generations. And he calls it a perpetual covenant. He calls it a sign between God and the children of Israel forever. And so these are things that the Bible says. And we're in a new covenant with Christ. And in Colossians chapter 2, verse 14, it says that Jesus has literally blotted out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in the ordinances. So we're not obligated to have to do that. But what we do need to do is spend some time and give a day to the Lord to follow him. So there's other passages as well. What's that?
And we should never forsake the assembly of gathering together.
Exactly, exactly. And if a church wants to worship on Saturday, there's nothing in the scriptures that says you can't. In fact, think about this logically. Remember when Paul went out on his missionary journeys? They first went into the synagogues of the Jews, which met when? On the last day of the week, the Sabbath day. And during the time in the synagogue, there was a point at which, you know, they could read from the scrolls of the scriptures and make an application. And Paul and his company, whether it was Paul and Barnabas, later Paul and Silas, they would read some of the Old Testament scriptures containing prophecies of the coming of the Messiah. And then they would elaborate on that and talk about Jesus, how the Messiah came, and it was in the person of Jesus Christ. And they would present Jesus as the Messiah in the synagogue on the last day of the week, on the Sabbath day. And people would be, some people wanted to know more. Some people got terribly upset. Some people believed them, and some people, mocked them. But the next day, after the Sabbath was over, they would meet with people who had more questions on the first day of the week. And so there was a pattern that developed there. And also for the early Christians, meeting on the first day of the week is a recognition of the resurrection of Christ on the first day of the week. So absolutely nothing wrong with worshiping on the first day of the week. You're certainly not receiving the mark of the beast when you worship on the first day of the week. That's for sure.
One deception can be, though, is that, this is what I've been reading, is that, people think that if I go to church on Sundays, I'm good to go for the rest of the week.
Well, and that's the same. I was going to say, it's the same error that the Hebrews fell into when they thought, well, if I go to the synagogue on the last day of the week, the Jewish people can get in the same error. I go on the Sabbath, I'm good for the week.
And that's not true.
No. I remember reading something when I was just a kid. I remember in our Sunday bulletin, I think it was, when I was a kid, 1 week without Christ makes 1 week. As in 1 week, W-E-E-K, without Christ, meaning you go the whole week without reading the Bible, without praying, without thinking about the Lord, you only go on Sunday, makes 1 week, W-E-A-K.
I've been to a lot of churches, and I've seen this has been a big problem. I can see it. I discern it.
You get a lot of churches, they've got these tremendous investments in buildings and facilities, and they have a Sunday morning service, and that's it.
Right.
No Sunday night service, no midweek service. They may have some activities in the gymnasium or the fellowship hall, but you got a big, beautiful auditorium, and you use it for maybe a couple of hours once a week.
Yeah, that's not right.
I'm sorry. I'd use it much more often. I'm not saying you have to have a service every day, although I have heard of churches. I remember there was a church in Texas. Somebody gave me some recordings of the services a long time ago, and they had a service every day. Every single day the church had a service. Every single day. Our church, we've got Sunday morning services, we got Sunday evening services, and we've got a midweek prayer time, and we've got a Friday night Bible study. So we're using it several times in that respect. So, and there's other churches that have, Sunday morning, Sunday evening services, midweek services of various types and activities. I believe if God blesses you with a facility, it ought to be used and used for the Lord's glory.
There's nothing to say that we can't go to other churches too, which I have.
Well, and you know, some of that you have to be careful with, because you don't want to forsake your own church for the extent of others, and you don't want to put yourself in a dangerous situation by going to a church that's got false doctrine.
Right.
So, but a couple, I was going to say, several weeks ago, we had a lady in our church who said, talking about an older pastor, he just turned 95, and he was preaching in an area, in a nearby church. And she said, I hope you don't mind, but I would like to go hear him. I've known him for years, and he's going to be preaching. And it's like, God bless you. Go have a good time and enjoy listening to somebody like that preach. And she did. She had a good time. So sometimes there's good reason, or if you're on vacation or something, you know, sometimes it's kind of nice to visit another church. And we have people from other churches that actually visit our Friday night Bible study. And
that's what I do. I go to different churches and go to their Bible studies and listen in.
But at the same time, as long as you're not forsaking your home church, the church where God has put you, and that's the key right there. Because we do have people who are, they go here, they go there. They just don't want to be tied down. And
that could be a problem.
Yeah. And you need a home church, a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching home church where you're going to get a steady diet. You know, it's nice to go out to a restaurant, but it's really not good to eat out at a restaurant every single meal. You know, it's good to go... at your home church where you can be spiritually fed and taken care of, and occasionally maybe you're traveling, or occasionally something comes up and you visit another church. It's like eating out, but you remember where your home church is, and that's where you're supporting, and that's who's dependent on your tithes and offerings and your prayers and your help and all that sort of stuff. And that's where hopefully if you have a need, there's somebody who's going to pray for you and things like that. So it is important. But, hey, I'm looking at the clock, Terry, and I got to get to my other caller, too, before it gets to you later.
Okay, thank you.
But good question tonight. Maybe we can explore some more in the future, too. But thank you for that. God bless. And check it out online. You can find the article there that I was telling Terry about. Is it wrong to worship on Sundays? Well, let me get back to something that normally I mention when we come out of the break there. And I talk about, certainly going online, checking us out at livewithpastoral.com. And when I do that, I also recommend that you link from that over to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, which is the main sponsor of the program. But we have another sponsor that helps prays for us and helps out with some financial gifts, and that's East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. And usually I tell a little bit about it, and lately Kenny here, our producer and call screener, has enjoyed some of East Coast Pizza, and he's chimed in with his viewpoint. Well, tonight, we have calling in a special guest. We have Gus, the mastermind, the chef, the architect of East Coast Pizza. Gus, welcome to the program. God bless you, brother.
Good evening. Good evening, Pastor Al.
Good evening. It's so good to have you on live. We talk about your pizza, and
it's delicious.
There's Kenny. I told you he's a convert, at least to your pizza. So, but God has blessed you there, hasn't he?
Well, not me only. Every single individual on the face of the earth is blessed by the Lord.
Exactly, and
everybody is blessed.
Yeah, exactly.
God did not forget anybody.
No.
Of all.
Well, and you've got an interesting story, Gus, and I don't know how much you want to get into it tonight, but certainly God has blessed you and revealed himself to you and given you an opportunity to share the love of Christ with people, hasn't he?
Yeah, I take a lot of pleasure in sharing my story with others about the Lord and how I came to faith in him.
Mm-hmm.
I told you, I think, before, if your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, God's going to grab you no matter where you are.
Mm-hmm.
No matter where you are, he's going to grab you.
Right.
Like he went to that today in the at the church when that guy that was born blind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in John chapter 9.
So Jesus went after him and he opened his eyes.
Yeah. Well, another one would be like the woman in John chapter 4. Remember the Samaritan woman where Jesus said, I right. must needs go through Samaria because there was a woman there that he had to reach.
Right. Yeah, right. He was seeking her, right? Yeah.
Exactly. And, well, so God...
Us all. We are all his creation. He loves us all and he gave his life for us.
Amen.
The least you can do is just believe in him and love him and have faith in him. That's the least you can do.
Absolutely. He gave his life for us, shed his blood to purchase our salvation. And like you said, we ought to love him.
And nobody is like him either. You can't find anybody like the Lord Jesus.
No other religion can give you somebody like that.
Blind with the word,
mm-hmm.
or resurrect the dead with the word. You can't find anybody.
Yeah.
He is the only one. The only one that can do these miracles is the only one.
Mm-hmm. In fact,
all of them are dead. All these prophets, you know, like they're all dead. All these, you know, religious gurus, you know, they call them.
Right.
They're all dead. Only Christ is alive, and his disciples testify to that. He's alive, you know. Mm-hmm. On the third day, God raised him from the dead.
Amen.
He's alive. He's not dead.
Yeah.
And whoever believes in him will conquer death, will conquer sin.
Mm-hmm.
Like David, Psalm number 2, is unbelievable. Like he said, kiss the sun. Like this is, what, 1,000 years, 800 years before Christ came?
Mm-hmm.
And David was saying, kiss the sun, man. Kiss the sun. You have to kiss the sun. You have to love the sun.
Right.
And then he goes, say, blessed are all who take refuge in him. You know? We're all blessed in Christ.
Amen.
We're all blessed.
Yeah. I was going to share, Gus, that I met you originally, and some of our listeners remember Bruce Musselman. He was with us. He's with the Lord in heaven now, though his program is still on. I believe his program is still on Thursdays at, I want to say, 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah, I listen to him on my way to work sometimes.
Yeah, recorded programs, as the Bible said, he being dead yet speaketh. And I was blessed to have some time helping him several years. I was able to help him on his program. And we came over and we visited you at East Coast Pizza there in Garfield Heights. I always tell people you're right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School there on Turney Road, and very easy to find. But we would come over and we would just sit there and discuss the Bible, and you would ask us questions, and you'd fix us a pizza that was just out of this world, and we would just enjoy the fellowship, the good Christian fellowship. And the pizza while we were there. And you really were a blessing to Bruce Musselman while he was with us. And you were and still are a blessing to me and to our church. And, you know, it's just like it's more than just pizza. It's an opportunity to fellowship. And, but it's an example of how you may not be a pastor. You may not be, you know, a missionary or something like that. But through the skills that God has given to you and the love that you have for the Lord, you're able to be a witness to a lot of people just making pizzas.
Hallelujah.
And I mean, what an opportunity. To me, you are a great example of how somebody can live for the Lord and be a witness and be a testimony just in the work that God has blessed them with. So
anybody can do this. I mean, whether you are a pizza maker or it doesn't matter what kind of job you have.
Right.
You still can share Christ with others and tell them about how wonderful he is, wonderful mm-hmm. counselor.
Yeah. Well, you know, in the secret to it, I think partly is something that you love, you want to talk about, don't you? You think about it.
Yes, of course. Yes.
And if you love the Lord, you want to talk about him. I mean, it's like...
Right. You can be silent. You can be silent.
Exactly. You know,
open your mouth, you know, and glorify him, you know.
Yeah, when people have something they love, they want to talk about it. I know we're coming up on the break here very shortly. But, you know, it's just like we on the Sunday night programs, usually here in, you know, the first break, when I come back out of the first break, I always mention East Coast Pizza. And it's not
because I love talking about it.
And I was going to say, Kenny loves talking about it because he loves your pizza. And you know, and I love the fellowship that I can enjoy, and in addition to the pizza, and I love, you know, how much you love the Lord and how much you've been a blessing to me and to the church. Love you. And so it's a pleasure for me, an honor for me, to talk about and recommend that people visit you at East Coast Pizza there in Garfield Heights, because I know it's several things. One, they're going to get an excellent pizza, aren't they? And number two, they're also going to get, you know, the opportunity to interact with somebody that loves the Lord and is concerned about more than just pizza, but also concerned with introducing people to the Lord.
Food. I mean, physical food is not that important. What important is the spiritual food.
Yeah. So
and once if the Lord is in it, it will be blessed, whether it's a pizza or something else, you know.
Yeah.
If the Lord Almighty with His Spirit is present in any establishment, it's going to be blessed for sure.
Amen. Amen. And so, hey, Gus, we're coming up on the break, and I want to thank you for calling in with us tonight, and certainly want to encourage, where's East Coast Pizza located at?
We are on 4889 Turney Road in Garfield Heights, across from the high school. Mm-hmm. Our hours are 3 till 9 o'clock, Monday through Saturday. Sunday are closed.
Mm-hmm.
And if anybody wants to open a pizza shop, I'll help them out, mm-hmm. whether they are in Ohio or outside Ohio.
Right.
It's not a franchise, like you said before. It's not a franchise, just, you know, help people, you know, make money and, you mm-hmm. know. And I've been making pizza for 28 years.
Amen. And what's your phone number there?
The Lord has been with me every day of my life.
Amen.
Before I came to America, even, you know.
Mm-hmm.
As far as I can remember, when I was in my mother's belly, I had, like, issues, you know, and He was with me. He rescues me every time. Every time He's with me on my side.
Well, it's by God's grace that we have life, and it's by God's grace that we have eternal life through Christ. And I appreciate that. Can you give the phone number there real quick before we run out of time?
Yeah, 216-341-9100.
All right.
216-341-9100, East Coast Pizza.
Amen.
And I thank you, Pastor L, for what you have done over the years for people. You are like a lighthouse.
Well, I appreciate you and your testimony. And I appreciate your pizza as well. I tell people,
love you, and we always enjoy listening to you.
Thank you so much. I tell people, kind of tongue in cheek, but it is a lot of truth to it. It takes a Lebanese in America to make a good Italian pizza, doesn't it? So, but that's what America is. But it's more than that. It's the love of Christ that makes and shines through everything that you do,
yeah,
Gus.
And
I appreciate
God bless
that.
America every day, and God bless America. That's the first thing comes out of my mouth almost every day, you know, like, God bless America.
Amen. And appreciate what you're doing out there. Know people pray for you. And thanks for calling in tonight. We got a break coming up in about 3 seconds. So thanks again. God bless. Stay tuned. On July 2nd, 1954, then-Senator Lyndon Baines Johnson offered an amendment to a pending tax bill. No committee hearings, no legislative analysis, backroom deals. The Johnson Amendment was an overt move to restrict freedom of speech and silence conservative nonprofit groups opposing Johnson and his cronies by threatening their tax-exempt status. The result? Many pastors, out of fear or ignorance, stopped speaking about controversial political issues and elections. Today, many believe that the Johnson Amendment makes it illegal for pastors to address political issues and elections. The Bible says we are to fear God rather than men, and to be salt and light in the world, preaching the whole counsel of God. This is Pastor Al Davis of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, host of Live with Pastor Al on 1220 The Word. true churches and faithful Christian leaders speak out on political issues and elections.